The outage hits without warning. The room goes silent in a way that tells you something is wrong, not just inconvenient. You hold still for a moment and let your eyes adjust, but you already feel the pressure building. Power loss changes the rules in the house. You move slow and deliberate because rushing invites mistakes. You check the air around you, the warmth of appliances, the hum that used to run under everything. It is gone. You reach for a flashlight, not a phone screen, because you need real light and a firm grip. Shadows shift across corners that once felt safe. You steady yourself and start the first checks. Breakers, neighbors, noise outside. You do not assume anything. The goal is simple. Confirm the source, stay safe, control the space. The outage is a problem, but panic makes it worse. You handle it step by step. Chapter 1. First minutes in the dark. The outage lands hard. You feel the room shift as every steady sound drops out. You take one breath and hold your ground. The darkness is not dangerous by itself. The risks come from what you do next. You keep your hands low and move slow so you do not clip furniture or trip over cables. You reach the drawer where you keep real lighting, a flashlight with clear battery strength. You check the lens for cracks and switch it on. The beam cuts a clean path across the floor. This is the light you trust, not the weak glow of a phone that pulls power you might need later. You sweep the beam across each wall. You check for smoke, heat, or odd smells. Anything sharp or chemical means you stop and leave the space right away. A clean air check tells you the outage is electrical, not fire-driven. You do not assume. You confirm with sight, smell, and steady breathing. You move toward the breaker panel. You keep the flashlight steady and aim it toward the cover. You stand on dry ground, no wet floors, no leaks. You open the panel and study each breaker from a safe distance. You are not touching anything yet. You look for one breaker out of position, a half click down, a full trip. You read the labels. You note the pattern. You do not reset anything until you know more. You close the panel for now and move to a window. You check the street. If the houses are dark, the outage is bigger than your space. If the neighbor's porch or hallway lights still burn, the issue might be inside your walls. You look for streetlights. If they are dark, the grid is failing. You listen for generators or alarms. You keep the flashlight off your own eyes to keep your night vision sharp. You do not rush. You move through each step with control because stumbling through the dark invites new problems. You check your appliances next. You place your hand on the fridge door, not to open it, just to feel vibration. It is silent. You check the microwave clock. It is off. You check any device with a standby light. No glow. The outage is confirmed. You look at the ceiling fans. They sit still. You walk the outer edge of each room to avoid walking straight into anything. You check for pets or people who might be startled by the dark. You speak clear and calm if others are inside the house. You warn them not to use candles. Flashlights only. Candles bring open flame into a situation where sight and reaction time are weak. You return to the breaker panel. This time you open it with a plan. You study the tripped breaker again. You do not touch any exposed metal. You keep one hand behind your back. You keep your feet in the same dry position. You reset only once and only if you are certain the breaker is the problem. If it sparks, clicks wrong, or trips again, you stop. You do not force it. You mark it mentally and close the panel. You keep the flashlight steady on the steps around you as you move away. You check the entry doors next, not to open them, to feel the temperature shift. A major grid outage can drop or raise room heat fast depending on season. You note the pressure of the air. You check for faint sounds from outside. If the neighborhood is restless or people are moving in the dark, you stay alert and keep your movement quiet. A blackout changes how everyone behaves. You stay aware, but not paranoid. Awareness keeps you safe. Panic does not. You walk back through the rooms you covered. You confirm clear paths. You remove anything easy to trip over. You secure small tables and loose cords. You guide others to a central area if needed. You keep your own mind focused on the next decision. The question is simple. Is the outage inside your home or beyond it? You have gathered the evidence. You have done every safe check without pushing further than the moment allows. You stand still and hold the flashlight low to the ground. You listen for the hum of power returning. Nothing yet. The house sits silent, waiting for your next move. Chapter 2, Controlled Checks and Hard Facts. You start with the outlets because they tell the truth without guesswork. You take a non-contact tester and place it near the first outlet. The tool stays quiet. No tone, no flash. You test another one across the room. Same result. You test one near the kitchen entry. The tool stays dead. This confirms the outage is still active across multiple circuits. You keep your breathing slow so you do not rush into unsafe resets. You move through the home with clear purpose. You record each result in your head so you do not repeat steps. You return to the breaker panel with the tester in hand. You open the cover and keep your distance. You test near the main feed. Still nothing. The silence from the tester tells you the outage is broad, not isolated. You focus on the breakers that looked clean in the first sweep. You check each one by sight again. You do not touch the bus bars. You check labels to confirm which circuits feed which rooms. You reset only one breaker, the one that looked slightly off earlier. You push it to the off position and then back to on. You wait. You listen. No hum. No lights. No return of power. You do not try it again. One attempt is the rule for safety. You leave the panel and head to the kitchen. GFCI units can fail after a surge. You shine the flashlight on the reset button. You press it once with a firm touch. The button clicks, but nothing wakes. You move to the bathroom and test that GFCI. Same result. You check a laundry area if you have one. Still dead. This tells you the protective circuits are not the root issue. The outage is not caused by one faulty GFCI. You stand in the center of the home and listen again. You think through the load you had running before the outage. Large appliances, space heaters, air conditioning, anything with a heavy draw. You list them mentally. You look for signs that one of them may have triggered a local fault. Burned smell, heat around a plug, a faint crack on a cord. You find none. The air is clean. The cords sit cold. This rules out an overloaded branch circuit. You step outside for a moment. You keep the flashlight low so you do not shine into anyone's face. You look at the houses nearby. Still dark. The street lights remain out. You hear distant generators, but none close. A blackout on the grid is now the strongest possibility. You take note of the quiet. Quiet neighborhoods during outages can shift fast. You observe cars moving slowly. You watch for emergency crews, none yet. You return inside and take another non-contact reading near the panel. Still no signal. You check that the main breaker is fully seated. You do not touch anything exposed. You only confirm alignment through sight. Everything sits correct. Nothing is loose. This rules out a main breaker slip. You put the tester away and decide you have reached the line where further electrical investigation becomes unsafe for a homeowner. Anything deeper requires a licensed professional or the utility crew on duty. You focus on stabilizing the environment for the next steps. You check how much daylight you have left. You check the temperature. You look for people who might need help navigating the dark. You tell them the power will not return immediately. You advise them to keep phones at high battery and low use. You confirm all candles are put away. You rely only on controlled light sources. You do one last sweep of the house for hazards. You unplug major appliances to protect them from a surge when power returns. You unplug space heaters if any were running. You unplug electronics. You leave the fridge and freezer sealed. Opening them now would cost you cold that you will need later. You stop in front of the breaker panel once more. You know you have reached the edge of what you can do safely. The tests told you the truth. The outage is beyond your walls. Chapter 3, Holding the Line Until the Power Returns. You start by locking down the essentials. The fridge stays closed. You set a mental timer. 4 hours is the safe window for most refrigerated food when the door stays shut. Freezers can hold cold longer if they remain sealed. You tell anyone in the home not to open either unless it is an emergency. Cold is currency during an outage. You protect it. You check your lighting next. Flashlights with strong batteries, lanterns that stay cool. You place them in key spots, one in the main room, one near the hallway, one near the entry. You avoid candles completely. Open flame in a dark house turns a simple outage into a dangerous scene. You keep everything steady and predictable. You set your lights so people can walk without guessing where the floor starts. You pick one safe room as the center. You clear the floor. You remove anything that shifts under weight. You open a window if the air feels tight. You keep the space comfortable without losing heat or letting in too much cold. You guide everyone toward that room because scattered movement wastes energy and raises risk. A central point keeps control tight. You check pets next. You make sure they have water and a quiet space. Animals react to dark environments with nerves. You keep them close so they do not wander near the breaker panel or trip someone walking with a light. You check on any child or older person in the home. You explain the situation in plain words. No guesswork, no soft talk. Clear facts help people settle. You sit still for a moment and listen for any shift in the environment, a hum in the distance, utility trucks, a neighbor calling out. You stay alert, not tense. Outages can shift fast. You keep your flashlight ready but switched off to save battery. You decide your next move. If the grid is down across multiple blocks, waiting might be the safest path. You check your phone for a network signal. If you have one, you contact the utility to report the outage. You give clean details. Address. When it started. Whether you saw flashes or heard pops. You do not overstate anything. Facts help crews assess damage faster. If the night grows colder or hotter, you adjust the safe room. Extra blankets if the temperature drops. Cool airflow if the heat rises. You monitor anyone who struggles with temperature changes. Outages test the body when the environment shifts. You keep the group stable. You move through the house one more time with the flashlight, slow and measured. You check for heat sources accidentally left on before the outage. Stoves, irons, space heaters. You confirm they are off and safe. You unplug devices that could surge when the grid comes back. This prevents shock or fire risk when the lights return. You take stock of time. You think through how long the home can stay safe without restored power. You consider your resources, light, water, food, temperature. You decide if staying is steady or if leaving becomes necessary. If you leave, you do it early, not in panic. You choose a path you know. You avoid driving unless the streets look stable. You stand in the safe room again. You breathe slow. The blackout no longer feels like chaos. It is a situation you understand and control step by step. You listen for signs of change, a faint click, the soft return of power, or the continued silence that tells you the night will stretch longer.